Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. 1 hour from now, Greg Cosell. Every Thursday, top of the second hour, NFL meat sandwich. You know how much I love that. If you bet football, you play fantasy football, he gives you tidbits you get nowhere else. By the way, in 10 minutes, I can't start the show with this topic because I'll go nuts. I have Pepto-Bismol and ibuprofen. My head's exploding and my stomach hurts. I have been in a tizzy for 30 minutes due to a topic. I can't leave the show with it because I told my staff, Joy, if I leave the show with it, it'll discombobulate the whole hour.
So yeah, you might need to build up to it.
I'm just going to build up to it. I'll get to it in 10 minutes. It is unbelievable. The disrespect showed to an athlete in America today. I want to start with this. It is easy to lose in the NFL. Tonight, Kansas City, everybody's favorite team a year ago, goes to Denver, and I think they could lose. Don't know if they will, but I think they could, which would be their third straight loss, lost back-to-back games at home. Just think about how hard it is, how easy it is to lose in the NFL. We all love Philadelphia's talent. They're losing. Rams were in the Super Bowl losing. Kansas City, back-to-back home losses. L.A. Chargers have one of the best rosters, now can't win at home against Mason Rudolph or Devlin Hodges. It is easy to lose in this league, but we love to anoint people to be great. But what makes great in this league is the ability to overcome. That's a great quarterback. And this is the first bumps Patrick Mahomes has ever had. There are two quarterbacks in this league that win always, period, end of story, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if Gronk retires. Doesn't matter if Doug Baldwin retires. Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, that is it. That is it. Even Aaron Rodgers last 2 years, things didn't go his way with the coach. Lost, got hurt, didn't play well. As well. Two guys in this league, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. We've had this love affair with Patrick Mahomes. Now he's figuring out. He's facing the real NFL. Oh, the offensive line's got an injury. Kareem Hunt last year leaves, numbers drop. Oh, Tyreek Hill misses a game. This is called the NFL. Brady never had a losing season. Russell Wilson never had a losing season. Russell Wilson didn't lose in high school, didn't lose in college, didn't lose at Wisconsin in college, and has never lost in the NFL. And he's had the worst offensive line, according to PFF, 2 years ago and led the NFL in touchdown passes. Doug Baldwin retires. Marshawn Lynch leaves. Richard Sherman, Michael Bennett go. Frank Clark, well, here he is. Once again, great. I like Patrick Mahomes. Love affair. Yesterday, Vic Fangio, head coach of Denver, talking about Mahomes. And again, the love affair, it's everywhere.
You know, I think he's, you know, like John Elway was in the 80s and 90s. He's that guy. Like Aaron Rodgers has been for the last 12, 14 years, however many years he's been starting. He's kind of that guy. He's the great passer, the great improviser. Plays with a lot of athletic arrogance, which is a compliment. He's good in the pocket, has great pocket feel. You can tell he's a gamer. You know, the guy is really, really special.
Not disputing any of it. He's an all-time talent. But this is his first adversity. He walked into the league with a great head coach, with a great GM, Brett Veach, with great weapons, with a solid offensive line, with Alex Smith, was a perfect mentor. Basically, they handed him the keys to a Mercedes and said, just don't back up and hit the tree across the street. Now, Mercedes has a flat tire. Warranty is out. You got into a wreck, fender bender on the way home. Insurance won't return your call. Now how is it going? Because this is the reality in the NFL. Tom Brady's never had a losing season. He's thrown touchdowns to 72 different guys. His coach wouldn't sign Wes Welker. Gronk retires. Randy Moss out. Ocho, whiff. Doesn't matter, wins. Russell Wilson, literally the offensive line. Tom Cable, coach, couldn't block people. Doug Baldwin, out. They've whiffed Percy Harvin. You had him for an hour. Like, this league is about overcoming. Patrick Mahomes has never been asked to overcome anything in this league. It has been a Mercedes. Here's the keys. Don't back into a tree. And right now, what you're seeing now with him, Kareem Hunt last year leaves, Tyreek Hill's hurt, offensive line injuries, defense can't stop the run. Welcome to the NFL. And not even Aaron Rodgers can win with that kind of adversity. Two guys do, always. Brady won in high school. Brady won in college. Brady always wins in New England. Russell won in high school. He won at North Carolina State. He won at Wisconsin. He always wins in Seattle. It is amazing how we love to anoint this. What Patrick Mahomes is facing tonight, this is called the NFL. Go ask Carson Wentz and the injuries. Chargers are falling apart. Go ask Jared Goff and Sean McVay. It's only two guys. This is it. Brady, Wilson. Everybody else, when the obstacle comes, the winning heads south. So I think tonight is a real test for them. Denver is the best team in the league that doesn't have a great record. They got jobbed against the Bears. They've lost two games, expiring field goals, clock runs out. Watch out tonight. But this Patrick now, and he's great. This is the first time he's faced what Russell Wilson faced a couple years ago and what Brady has faced most of his career. Running back leaves, receiver leaves, guy, they won't re-sign a guy, offensive line issues. Fun game to watch tonight. All right, here we go. Jalen Ramsey's a Ram. And, you know, I'm reading the stories yesterday. Can I have a new rule on the show? Let's just have, I'm not a big rule guy in life. I really, if I was a coach, I don't have a lot of rules. Show up on time and work really hard. I'm not a big rule guy. Here's a new rule on the show. Stop blaming the environment. Stop blaming the environment. So Jalen Ramsey's going to go to the Rams. And all I read yesterday is, well, you know, the environment in Jacksonville. Antonio Brown blamed the environment in Pittsburgh. The environment in Oakland. I don't know if you're watching. Raiders are pretty good. Now he's unemployed. T.O. always blamed the environment. Odell Beckham. How's Cleveland working out? It was New York, right? Go to the NBA. Kyrie Irving blamed the environment. Kevin Durant, Golden State. I'm not happy there. Melo, Denver, not good enough. Blake Griffin, get me out of here. Are you noticing something? It's never the environment. It's like maybe all you guys, you're to blame for the divorce too, not just your ex-wife. Maybe all you women, you're to blame, not just the ex-husband. Like stop. We're always pointing. It's there, the environment, the building, the boss. The Jalen Ramsey brought a Brinks truck to practice. He's goofy. And by the way, I'm not saying he's not great, but I have watched all these athletes. It's always them. And look, AB, OBJ, T.O., Dez, and in the NBA, Kyrie, you had LeBron and Brad Stevens. Maybe it's kind of some of it's on you a little bit. I mean, Deion Sanders yesterday talked, he's friends, I guess, with Jalen Ramsey, and Jalen's a really good player. I mean, you can agree or not agree with the contract. That's fine. He got paid. He's going to get paid. He's very, very good. But, you know, we're all blaming Jacksonville. From what my sources in the NFL, people love Jacksonville's owner. They love the GM. They draft well. Coughlin's won multiple Super Bowls. And Gardner Minshew's arguably the shock of the league at quarterback, and they have very good defense. They've been in every game they play. And yesterday, Deion is talking about Jalen may not like L.A. now.
One thing is that Jalen is a businessman. Secondly, I don't feel like the Rams are the Rams of old. Thirdly, taxes. See, people, these young kids ain't fools no more. Taxes in California and the cost of living in California is not feasible to a guy who's just coming out of Florida. I don't know if this is going to be a situation that's going to last over a year. This may be for right now.
Okay, so he's blaming the taxes. Is Steph Curry worried about California's taxes? Is Klay Thompson, didn't LeBron James move here? Is Eli Manning and Michael Strahan and Saquon Barkley worried about New York's taxes? If taxes matter, stay in Jacksonville or go move to the lousy Dolphins. I'm sorry, Wyoming doesn't have an NFL team, either does New Hampshire. I mean, go to Tennessee, play for the Titans, no state tax. Taxes? He may not. So he's bringing that baggage before he gets there. Great. Kawhi Leonard doesn't worry about taxes. Okay, LeBron don't worry about taxes. Steph Curry, I live here. I don't like him. I don't like him. You want to be great? Don't worry about taxes. You want to play for the Dolphins? Go ahead. They're tanking. The second thing is, well, he's a businessman. No, he's not. He's a cornerback. I'm involved in businesses, but I'm a talk show host. That doesn't mean I don't invest in businesses. I'm not a businessman. Jalen Ramsey is a football player. He's great. He can invest in businesses. Did he go to Wharton? Did he have a business degree from a great? He's a great football player who I'm sure is smart with his money and invests in lots of things. But we live in this world now. Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler, Chicago, Philadelphia. I got news for you. If you couldn't get along in Philadelphia, I got Joel Embiid protecting the rim. I got Ben Simmons who won't even shoot. He gives me all the shots. And Jimmy Butler's like, I don't like it in Philadelphia. The point guard doesn't like to shoot. The center protects the rim. If you can't get along in Philadelphia, Jimmy Butler, I can't help you. And Antonio Brown, Pittsburgh, Big Ben, deep ball, that didn't work for you? There's no rule on the show. Can we just sometimes look in the mirror? In the bathroom, we get ready in the morning, we shave, we brush our hair. Can we look in the mirror right there and stop blaming others? Jalen Ramsey's already got taxes on his mind. They're not going to be the old Rams. What, seven games ago when they were in the Super Bowl? What, the old Rams are no good? You mean the 7 games ago Rams? They're not as good as that team. Where do you want to land? Is it New England or nobody else? What are the options? You have to have the – when Drew Brees got to New Orleans, the environment was terrible. People wore bags to games. They used to be called the Aints. Then he got there and Katrina hit. Drew Brees could have bailed on New Orleans 7 times. And he said, you know what? I'm going to be the culture. Life's not perfect. You don't get a dream job as a pro athlete. I mean, Zion probably would have been better if he landed in L.A. or Boston or with Greg Popovich. And it doesn't work out that way. Instead of blaming something, change the culture. Instead of trying to find the perfect one, because I'll tell you, Brady, Joy and I saw the video other day when he got the game ball. It's not even perfect for Tom Brady. We're not even sure his coach likes him. There is no perfect culture. Make it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, welcome back. This is called Pepto-Bismol. I've never done this on the show. My stomach hurts today. Not because I went out last night and... And I'm doing this for a reason. I don't get worked up much. I've been doing this long enough. It's all topics to me. You know, I just come in. Joy sees it. We work. I do topics. We break them down. I saw this morning I had a tizzy. And this is absurd. So every year they have this survey. They survey anonymously NBA general managers. Season starts in a couple of days. I love the NBA. So this question is unbelievable to me. Pretend you're the general manager. If you're starting a franchise today, could sign any player, who would it be? You're starting a franchise. You're a GM. Well, I would think Kawhi Leonard would be either one. No, he would be one. Because LeBron James is in his 17th year, and LeBron may be better for a year, but if you were starting a franchise, you'd do Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard doesn't make the top three. The top three are Giannis, Anthony Davis, and Luka Doncic. Two of the three did not make the playoffs. Giannis did and faced Kawhi. And Kawhi is 5 inches shorter and 35 to 40 pounds lighter and pushed Giannis all over the floor. He wiped the floor with him. He totally marginalized him. This entire offseason was about who the hell is going to land Kawhi Leonard? There was a country that was invested. Not a city, a country, Canada, that was invested. Why would that be? Because he took Kyle Lowry, Mark Gasol, and won the championship in Canada, which will now become, again, a hockey country. He has destroyed, we call him the NBA's version of Thanos. He destroys other dynasties. The Heatles, Kawhi Leonard destroyed it. He beat them. They broke up. The Warriors, he destroyed them. They couldn't stop him. Broke them up. San Antonio will never be the same. Toronto will go back to being a hockey country. In my life, there's only two players that even resemble Michael Jordan, the greatest player ever. Kobe Bryant for his offensive skill and Kawhi Leonard for his mid-range body, hand size, and ability to take over games. That's it. Here's what's fascinating. So the same general managers who don't put Kawhi in the top three, the guy we just watched carry a roster of C-plus, B-minus games to the title, the GMs were asked, which player would you want to take a shot and the game on the line? Oh, Kawhi Leonard's in that. You know who's not? Luka, Anthony Davis, or Giannis. I don't know about you, but shot with a game on the line sort of matters. They also asked the GMs, who's the best defensive player in the league? Kawhi wins that. Who's the best perimeter defender in the league? Kawhi wins that going away. They also ask, which team made the best overall moves this offseason? The Clippers got 82% of the votes. It ain't because of Paul George. By the way, do you know who got the second most votes on that? The team that got rid of Anthony Davis, the Pelicans. This is not a shot at Anthony Davis. Like him a lot. They also asked the GMs, which one player acquisition will make the biggest impact? Kawhi Leonard got triple the votes of Anthony Davis. According to these general managers, the team that got rid of Anthony Davis is ranked higher than the team that landed him, the Lakers. How? These aren't general managers of NBA teams. They're general managers at Taco Bell. How do you not have Kawhi Leonard in your top three? Are you watching the league? This whole league now is a ball handlers league, a scores, perimeter score league, and can you defend the wing? Everybody in the NBA is trying to find a wing defender. He's the best. Everybody's trying to find the guy that can hit the big shot in the big game. He or Steph Curry are the best, maybe Damian Lillard. Are people out of their mind? Luka Doncic won't make the playoffs perhaps this year. The other thing they say is that this question is fascinating. So the general managers are asked, if you were starting a franchise, could sign any player, who would it be? Anthony Davis gets the second most votes. A team did that, New Orleans, and couldn't win games. What? Kawhi essentially wins the Clippers every category. He wins it, they win it. But when it's who you want to start a franchise with, never forget, these GMs voted best player in the league, Karl Anthony Towns. They can't even make the playoffs with Andrew Wiggins. And they had Jimmy Butler. This is why GMs get fired and nobody has any sympathy. This is why GMs get fired in this league and everybody's like, yeah. Remember Bill Simmons wrote that his best column ever was the atrocious GM summit? There are so many bad GMs in this league, it's unbelievable. To not have Kawhi Leonard, who we just sat and watched, dominate the league. I mean, listen, ask yourself, outside of Joey Taylor, did anybody really think Marc Gasol, Kyle Lowry, Danny Green, a coach you didn't know 2 years ago that was in some league in some country, I don't know where it's at, they won the championship? God, it's just idiotic.
I should be a GM.
Yeah, you called it. I don't even know. Giannis got 86% of the vote. Giannis and Kawhi went toe-to-toe. Kawhi pushed him all over the floor. I mean, he literally took Giannis and completely marginalized him. I got a headache.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
NBA GM survey came out yesterday. A lot of stuff is cray. It's just so stupid. I will get, before I get to Greg, one of the things that jumped out is that the NBA Western Conference is so good. I mean, the GMs were all over the map on it, and they had their Western Conference. So what I'll give you is what I believe. This is how the Western Conference will end. This is how it will end at the end of the regular season. That doesn't mean the number one team will win the championship. So let's go 2 minutes on this. Here's how I think the NBA Western Conference will end up. I think Denver's going to win it. First of all, I think they're really good, return everybody. They're young and get better and got some playoff experience. They're also a team that wants to have home court advantage. They don't have a lot of veterans. Home court for them, where they're very good, could be the difference between winning and losing a series. I think Denver will be ready to go. They don't have a lot of new additions. They'll be a very good regular season team, and I do think they probably win a second playoff series this year. Number two will be Utah. They had two weaknesses. Point guard, they added Mike Conley. Shooting, they add another shooter. I think their coach is great, Quinn Snyder. He's the Brad Stevens of the West. And again, I think they tend to catch teams off guard. They're always good at home because of the altitude. Early in the year, teams are not in great shape, don't play as well. And I just think they're a really good team that will be an excellent regular season team because they want home court in the playoffs. Number three, the Clippers, who I think will be in the Western Conference Final, but will finish third. Paul George may miss time early because of a shoulder surgery. And Kawhi Leonard, I'm going to tell you right now, is not going to play 70 games. Okay, he's going to take at least 15 games off because he just played 60 and won the championship. So Kawhi's going to play some games early because he's the new guy in town and Paul may not be playing. This team is deep. I think it's as good as any team in the NBA. It's going to take him a while with Paul George coming off surgery and Kawhi Leonard taking off nights. It's going to take him about until March for the chemistry to really click. Clippers three. Number four is Golden State. I think they have a chance to play in the Western Conference Finals. I still give them a chance to win the championship. They added size with Willie Cauley-Stein. They re-signed Kevon Looney, and they have Klay Thompson coming back in March. Steph, Draymond, D'Angelo Russell, I think, will work perfectly. They're as good a coach team as there is in the NBA. They've got a new arena. Kevin's gone, so they'll play with more urgency. I think they're fourth. I think the Lakers are fifth. Now, I think they could be the best team in the league by the end of the year, but it's an old roster, and they're not going to play Anthony Davis over 70 games. I doubt LeBron plays 75 games. They're going to, you know, your Rondos. They've already lost DeMarcus Cousins for the year. Regular season doesn't mean squat for this team. It doesn't mean anything. They're going to have a lot of their older players take nights off. I don't think their chemistry will be ideal for a while. This is not a shot at the Lakers, but I think they're built for championships. They couldn't give a rip until about March. I'll put Portland at six. Dark horse team to win the West is Portland. Here's why. They have Whiteside from Miami. That's an expiring contract. Watch Portland at the All-Star, the trading deadline, move. They don't need Nurkic and Whiteside. They'll move that contract and go get a Kevin Love. So they got great guards and great bigs. They could use somebody in between. Keep your eye on Portland making a big trade at the trading deadline because they have two centers, don't need both. San Antonio I have for seventh. They won 48 games last year without a point guard. They love Murray. He got hurt. They're a very good basketball team. The point guard in that system is massive, and they didn't have one last year. So we know they have DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge. They have scores. Now they got their point guard who they're in love with. They're seventh. And I'm going to pick the Dallas Mavericks for eight. They do not. I don't think they'll be a good defensive team. Porzingis will give you 24 a night. Luka gives you 26 a night. They're going to be fun to watch. I think they're well coached. They have limitations, I think, on the defensive end, and I'll cross my fingers on Porzingis. And yes, I did not put the Houston Rockets in, and my theory on them is the owner right now is furious at the GM. The GM doesn't like the coach. The coach doesn't like his staff, who they forced him with. And by the All-Star break, Harden will have had it with Russell Westbrook. This is going to unravel, and that's my theory on that.
I don't think I agree with that.
All right. I think chemistry is big in the NBA, and I think you've got this combustible China thing and Daryl Morey and GM, and it's just a lot of noise, and it's I don't like noise. So there it is. I got Denver, Utah, Clippers, Warriors, Lakers, Blazers, Spurs, Mavericks. NBA season starts in a few days.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Greg Cosell, 40 years. NFL Films are NFL meat sandwich. Let's start with this. We all said, let's not judge Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur in September. Let's get to November. Are you seeing growth with the new coach and Aaron Rodgers now after five or six games, Greg?
Absolutely. I think their offense is starting to have a nice look and a nice feel to it. They have an effective play-action pass game, which is exactly what LaFleur wants, working off the zone run game. They do that both with Rodgers under center and in the gun. There's a much better and cleaner fusion now between the run and the pass, and that's what you're working toward. Plus, I thought this week Rodgers played at a really high level within structure and from the pocket. And he always has the ability to do other things, but I thought this week he really was patient, he was composed within the pocket, and made a lot of great throws from the pocket.
You know, they're young at wide receiver, old at tight end. I like their weapons. Maybe it's just Rodgers, but I like their young receivers.
Well, Rodgers can obviously make ridiculous throws. He made a couple in this game. Obviously, the touchdown to Lazard, you couldn't have handed the ball to him any better than Rodgers threw it. So you know, I think that he can make guys better clearly, because when you're a precise ball placement thrower, you make receivers, but that's what makes receivers better.
Yeah. Let's go to Lamar Jackson. Okay, so I think we both agree there's some limitations as a passer, but you know what? I'm a big fan of teams that have an identity, and I do believe they have an identity. So, you know, your takeaway, and let's have an overview on Lamar this season, because they lead their division right now and are pulling away in their division.
Yeah, I think everything with that offense starts with all the run game elements, the multiple run game elements, mostly out of pistol. They do a lot of different, a lot of the same style runs, same concept runs out of different looks with different people doing the blocking. But it starts with the run game. You've got to defend that. He's at this point in his career, he's clearly a better runner than he is a thrower. He's a very inconsistent, erratic thrower. Whether you believe he can improve in that area, that remains to be seen. But they're a running team first and foremost, and that's how you have to go about defending them. You have to start there, and you have to start with the fact that you don't want Jackson getting outside and outflanking your defense. You don't want him on the perimeter.
I got to ask you about the 49ers. Obviously, we know their defensive front is very, very good, and we know Kyle Shanahan's very clever. When you watch the film on the Niners, what impresses you most, the offense or the defense?
I would say at this point, because Kyle's offense has always been good wherever he's been, I'd say the defense. You can make the argument that their front six, because teams play in sub-packages an awful lot, that their front six is as good as any front six in the National Football League. And that, to me, is where they're doing their damage right now. They certainly totally dominated the Rams' offense and offensive line, but that front six is as good as any in the NFL. And the two names people aren't probably talking about, Fred Warner is a second-year linebacker from BYU, and then you've got Quan Alexander, who came over as a free agent from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And those two guys give them tremendous speed and versatility at the linebacker position in their nickel.
You know, it's interesting. I want to talk about Deshaun Watson. Russell Wilson admitted about a week ago, he said, listen, it's year eight. Now you can't throw anything at me I haven't seen. And Deshaun Watson's still a kid. And I'm watching him, and I told my audience last week, now that he's got a left side of the offensive line and a semblance of a running game, I think he's got at least comparable weapons to Patrick Mahomes. And I think Mahomes has a better arm and is a better, more beautiful thrower. But there is an it quality to Deshaun Watson where he's got his instincts are good. Now he's got a little time to throw. Deshaun's fascinating to me. When I watch him play, he's not the prettiest thrower of the football, but Greg, boy, he makes big third down plays. Boy, he's got an it factor, and I thought I saw it again this past week.
Yeah, he's not as good a pure thrower as Mahomes, but it's funny you talk about the O-line. I've been saying since week one that this line will get better and better, and in fact, this past week, I watched that tape closely, Laramie Tunsil had an outstanding game. He was dominant in pass protection. In his one-on-one matchups versus Frank Clark, he totally dominated him, and they drafted two rookies now to play. Sharping is playing left guard, and he's improving each week. Howard got hurt this week, but it's only a couple of week injury. He's been improving at right tackle. This will end up being a very good offensive line, and now you're seeing Watson with more time to throw, more time to scan. They've got a good receiving group, and don't lose track of one thing, Colin. This offense in some ways is starting with Carlos Hyde, because Hyde has run the ball on first down almost as much as any back in the league, so they hand the ball off a lot on first down.
Yeah. I want to talk now about a couple of young quarterbacks. You know I love Sam Darnold. I don't think he's always a beautiful thrower, but I don't think he was well coached in college. He didn't play much in college, and I think he's got a big ceiling. I think the Jets have now gotten him Jamison Crowder, Le'Veon Bell. I think he has now at least reasonably solid weapons and semi-good protection. Now, last week, he was obviously mostly terrific in the first half. What did you see on film from Sam? Was it what you expect? Was it better? Did you see gradual improvement? What did the film say on a guy I really like?
oh, I thought he played well this past week, given that he'd missed some games. He made two big-time throws on that fourth-quarter field goal drive. He hit Crowder for 30 yards, where Crowder settled into the zone void. He had the back shoulder throw to on the slot fade to Anderson. You know, he does clearly have a knack for movement within the pocket and then with outside the pocket. And he's an awkward thrower, but that's just the way he throws. That's not going to change. So I like Darnold. I think that, you know, they play Monday night, and you can't beat the Patriots if you cannot execute and win versus man coverage. And I think they'll struggle in that area, so I don't know what his numbers will be Monday night. But I like Sam Darnold, and I think he'll continue to improve.
Now, I want to talk about Dak, who we talk a lot about on this show. I didn't think he was, I guess, terrible against New Orleans, whatever the grades say. But, you know, we had this discussion yesterday. Is it the, you know, we've seen him win a lot of games. We've seen him win his division. He is like Darnold. You don't look at him throwing and think, oh, that's wonderful. You've never been a huge fan of Dak. Is this just what we're going to get with Dak? This is what it is against good defenses. He's unbelievably average.
Well, it's not a matter of being a huge fan or not being a huge fan. It's a matter of watching the tape and then seeing what the tape tells me. And I think that Dak is a good thrower. I think that there are times that he misses some throws that he shouldn't. Now, a lot of quarterbacks do that as well. But I think that he's a quarterback that has been very fortunate throughout his career to be clean in a lot of pockets. It depends on the opponent. I mean, this week he was under a ton of pressure with the Jets. Greg Williams came after him, made him uncomfortable, made him play a little fast. I think he's more dependent on weapons than some, and that's okay if you have good weapons. Look, Cooper didn't play, Gallup had missed games. So I don't think that he's a bad quarterback by any stretch of the imagination, and I think you can win games in the league with Dak, but I think there's a part of Dak that's kind of a piece, that if everything's working well with your offense, that he's really, really effective. And if things are not quite working as well, or you're missing some pieces, I'm not sure if he can bring you to a higher level.
Yeah. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Baker because I'm going to talk about it, but 56% completion percentage
Their offense is a mess right now.
Okay, so Kyler Murray's at 64%, Lamar's at 65%, and we question whether Lamar's a pocket guy. So when you say their offense is a mess, what you're telling me is it's some coaching, because I don't know how many teams have great O-lines. Like, I kind of get tired of hearing about their O-line. You say it's a mess. What does that mean?
I'm not sure when I watch their tape. I actually talked to a coach about this too. I don't get a sense that they have an identity, that there's a weekly sense of here's what we are as an offense and here's what we want to get accomplished on a weekly basis and this is what we're going to do. And I think that that's a tough way to go every week. You should have a strong foundation. You know, I don't know how you feel, but I personally think they should run their offense through Chubb.
Yes.
In the same way that the Cowboys run their offense through Elliott.
Yep, totally.
And then work off that. Because right now you've got Baker Mayfield playing way too fast. He's seeing ghosts. He's perceiving and anticipating pressure. And he's not playing with the sort of calm and poise that he played with a year ago.
Yeah. All right. I'm so glad your play of the week is Kyler Murray, because at least in that first half, I don't know how much is scripted, how much is not. But I feel like I've seen growth with him in like 4 weeks.
They've changed dramatically, Colin. They've gone from a team that was very collegiate in their personnel usage with 10 personnel, meaning 4 wide receivers, and each and every week they're doing less and less and less of that. Now they're playing with a tight end, with 2 tight ends. So from a personnel standpoint, they're much more of an NFL offense than they were initially, and I'm sure that's Kingsbury kind of evolving and growing and recognizing what you need to do in the NFL.
Well, so that's interesting. So let's go to your big play of the week with Kyler.
Let's jump right into it. And this was a touchdown to Max Williams. You're going to see a lot of movement before the snap of the ball. But this is a touchdown to Williams. And the key thing here, as you can see on the screen, it was 2nd and 1. And I think that is, to me, the critical part of this play. And now as we start to get to the breakdown of the play, you'll see why. Because what you're going to have here, obviously you're going to see Kyler Murray in the shotgun. He's in the shotgun probably 98% of the time. But what you're going to get here is Andy Isabella. He's going to go in motion across the formation. And remember, the 2nd and 1 is critical here, because this play starts to have the look now of, hey, he runs across the formation, Murray takes the snap, he works a little bit off design movement, he's going to throw it in the flat, get the first down. There's the first down marker. Everybody in the NFL runs this play. There you see, looking right at him. That's what the play looks like. Get the first down, move the chains, get in the red zone. You have more plays. But let's go back to the snap now and see what they did here. And this is really interesting. You're going to see Larry Fitzgerald and Max Williams. Fitzgerald's going to run across the field because he wants to remove Ishmael, the defender. Because what they want to do here is have Max Williams show that he's going to block as if they're going to throw it to Isabella in the slot to get the first down on a play, as I said, everybody runs. So you can see right there Max Williams, he's blocking. That's what it looks like. So what happens now is when we release this, you're going to see Williams work across the field. The area has been cleaned out by Fitzgerald. Easy throw back across the field. You get a touchdown. Beautiful design, taking advantage of the down and distance situation and the fact that the defense would not be thinking about that at all.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful play. And I love when a play is executed, and coaches must love this. It works exactly. The guys you wanted to bite, and it works perfectly. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, 40 years. I love having him on Thursdays. Greg, great talking to you.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app. Ready to make some sweet cash? Colin's going to give you his three sure bets for the college football weekend. It's time for the Fox Bet Marquee 3. Florida at South Carolina.
I'll take Florida -5 to win big. Listen, South Carolina upset Georgia, but if you look at the numbers, they were totally dominated in that game. Georgia had twice as many first downs, 200 more yards, dominated time of possession. The difference is Georgia kept turning the ball over. Last week was an outlier. South Carolina improved to 2-18 in their last 20 against ranked teams. Florida's got a quarterback I didn't know much about to start the year named Kyle Trask. He's been great in the last couple of games against LSU and Auburn. Those are real defenses. And Florida's defense is also the better one in this game. This year in the SEC, which I don't know, is a pretty good defensive conference. Second in points allowed, first in takeaway, first in sacks. Dan Mullen's got a team. Watch out, the Florida Gators are back. They did it with Spurrier, did it with Urban Meyer. Looks like they're going to do it with Dan Mullen. I like them to win and win comfortably, Florida 30-20 over South Carolina.
Oregon at Washington.
Huskies at home, I'll take them and the field goal. Listen, Oregon in their last 4 years against ranked teams, they've not been a step-up program. They're 3-9, and they've not been good out of Autzen. Jacob Eason's a first-round NFL quarterback, so both teams have a great quarterback, and Eason has been great at Husky Stadium, completing 67% of his throws, 7 TDs, 1 pick. Oregon's offense, up and down this year. 17 against Auburn, 21 against Cal, so-so against Stanford, and Washington's defense is easily the best they'll face in the conference this year, plus they're at home. I like the coaching staff of Washington. The Huskies with the upset, 24-23. And I think they just win the game outright. I think the Huskies are going to win a narrow football game.
Michigan at Penn State.
I'm done with Harbaugh's crappy offense. I'll take Penn State -9. It's one of those wideout games where Penn State plays a big ranked opponent. And for the record, they've been very good in those. The home team has won this matchup the last three times by 25-plus points. It's a weird blowout matchup. Harbaugh, as an underdog, never won at Michigan. In fact, Michigan's 1-19 in their last 20 against top 10 teams, including 11 straight in the road. Their offense, and by the way, their offense is so bad at Michigan, it's like 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th in the Big Ten. And they're terrible at everything. And Penn State's defense is really, really good. James Franklin can recruit. He's got NFL bodies on that defense. You look at every defensive stat this year in Penn State, in the FBS rankings, these are like national rankings, they're top 2, 3, 4, 5. I think right now, I think Penn State's got better personnel. Michigan last year had some really good defensive players. They ended up on the Steelers, they ended up on the Packers, and I don't think they're very good defensively, so I have Penn State winning this game. I think that defense pretty much stomps Michigan 28-14. So I like the Florida Gators, a real team, top 10 team to win and cover against South Carolina that upset Georgia, but mostly because of turnovers. I think Washington gets points. They'll win at home outright against Oregon, a team that is not as good in these big games on the road. And I'm over Michigan. I'm totally done with Michigan. Sorry. Over it. I mean, I still think Harbaugh's winning 9 games a year and Brady Hoke won 6, but I'm over it. That offense, it's not, Michigan's not even fun to watch. I mean, it's one thing. They're not fun to watch. Like, that, I mean, you got to be fun to watch. Wisconsin's not dazzling. Wisconsin's fun to watch. I mean, Alabama, you know, for years and years before Tua, it wasn't razzle-dazzle. They're fun to watch. Michigan's no fun to watch. Blazing Five on the show tomorrow. Urban Meyer stops by. Big college football weekend. We get into the teeth of college football now. Big, meaningful games. Coaches on the hot seat.